Time when a person hears the name Ebenezer, he probably connects that to Charles Dickens' famous A Christmas Carol and Ebenezer Scrooge. Dickens got the name, however, from the passage that was just read. Few know that the name is even in the Bible, and probably even fewer still know what it means. We just sang the song where that word appears, O thou fount of every blessing. And that contains the word in the second verse. The concept it represents is a great one, but the story of the author is lamentable and serves as a warning to all of us that salvation is never guaranteed. Samuel was a godly man, as well as being a prophet of the Lord. The Israelites needed saving from the Philistines, actually not an uncommon occurrence. And thus Samuel made an offering to God, and God answered him, as we just read in verse 9. At the very moment that he was offering the sacrifice, the enemy was on the march. But the Lord thundered so loud that the Philistines became confused and were defeated by Israel, as we noticed in verse 10. And in fact, it became a rout, Israel driving them far away from where they were encamped. Now, in order to commemorate this great victory of God's fighting for them, Samuel took a stone and raised it up as a memorial, calling it Ebenezer, which means, thus far the Lord has helped me. Verse 12, that's literally what it means. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. So when we read in the song, or when we sing the song, here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home, we are reading of a reference, we are singing of a reference to Samuel and that setting up of that stone to commemorate God's help. This is such a wonderful sentiment. Is there a time in your life when you could have set up a stone as a memorial to say, thus far the Lord has helped me? I think if we think back, we can think of many times where after a certain event or a difficult time that God saw us through, we could say, thank you, and I really appreciate the help in getting through this. We could have set up a stone just like Samuel did to commemorate it. So some of our spiritual milestones, some of the trials and the things that we have endured are our Ebenezers. But did you know that sometimes the words of a song are changed from what the writer originally wrote? Well, actually, this has happened in this song. For example, we sing, teach me ever to adore thee, may I still thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. That's not what the original writer, Robert Robinson, wrote. His original verse was, teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. I'm not sure what flaming tongues above refers to. Maybe some other people weren't sure of it either. Is it a reference to flaming tongues of fire as what was observed on the day of Pentecost? Were those supplied by the Holy Spirit in heaven Was this some sort of reference to inspired singing that maybe the Holy Spirit gave to angels? I don't know what exactly he had in mind, but that verse has been changed. Someone decided to make it a little less flamboyant and more practical. Interestingly, the seeds of Robinson's destruction seemed to have been foreshadowed in the original third verse of the song, which has also been changed. We sing, "Never let me wander from thee, never leave the God I love. Here's my heart, and take and seal it for thy courts above." But those were not the original words in two of those lines. They were originally, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." Now that is really interesting and rather depressing. It's probably a good thing those words were changed. They should have been changed. None of us is prone to wander. Yes, we occasionally may go against what we've taught. We may occasionally go against our own better judgment, but we are not prone to wander. Satan is against us. The world perpetually calls to us to participate in its various forms of wickedness, but we are not helplessly forced to respond. The plea to "let me never wander" is much more of a valid concept. Look at John chapter 10, which is often quoted, sometimes misapplied. But John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Nothing about being prone to wander there, is it? "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Jesus is saying there is protection for sheep that want to continue with the shepherd. "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." So the protection is there as long as the sheep want it. But what do we know about sheep? They can decide to wander off, can't they? As long as they desire the protection, they have it. But if they come to a point where they no longer desire the protection, where they want to leave, they can. But that does not make them prone to wander. That just means they have the opportunity and the will to wander if they so choose. Regrettably, things did not end well for the author of this hymn, Robert Robinson. He moved from one religious group to another, never finding the truth. He was a minister in the Methodist Church for a while. Later on, he became a Baptist pastor, quote unquote. He wrote other hymns, such as well as various theological works. "O Thou Fount of Every Blessing" was written when he was only 23. But his later life found him taking occasional lapses into sin and becoming involved with Unitarianism. Now, you may not know that much about Unitarianism, but it's not that far from atheism. It's not a good place to be. And yet, those are some of the places that he ended up. According to a biographer, one day he was riding a stagecoach when he noticed a woman deeply engrossed in a hymn book. During the ensuing conversation, the lady turned to Robinson and asked what he thought of the hymn that she was humming. Robinson burst into tears and said, "Madam, I am the poor, unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago, and I would give 1,000 worlds if I had to give them for the feelings I enjoyed back then." Sad that he had wandered so far away from where he started out. Well, that's certainly an example to avoid. We must recall the Ebenezers that we have raised up figuratively in our lives for the times when we have been truly grateful that God has brought us to this point. This brings us to a point, though, and that is that things are going to change. Now, they can change for the worse, as we saw, or they might change for the better, but things do change. Believe it or not, young people, there was a time when 80% of popular songs were not about sex. That's not my estimation. I read that in, Parade or somewhere, that 80% of all modern songs have to do with that subject. Now, there have always been songs that had to do with love and males and females and all that, but not like it is today. In fact, we mentioned Carole King and Jeffrey Goffin as one of the critical songwriting teams way back when, and they wrote about boy-girl relationships, such as in "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow?" A really thought-provoking song. But they also wrote on other subjects. They protested materialism in a song that we mentioned last year, recorded by the Monkees, called "Pleasant Valley Sunday." And it is something that kind of makes fun of materialism and shows the fallacy of it, and how worthless it is to devote yourself just to things. But they also wrote another one called "The Old Crowd." And this deals with an entirely different subject. And it deals with change. It expresses how life moves on and even past the great times that we have had. The song goes, "Sometimes I get to thinking about days gone by, and I start crying every time. What I wouldn't give if I could just relive one day with those old friends of mine." No one ever planned it, but every day at 4, we would get together at the corner candy store. We'd just ignore the sign, "No dancing is allowed." Yeah, how I miss the old crowd. Sally was the funny one. Sue wore the hippest clothes. Eddie was the wise guy. There's always one of those. Johnny used to sing off key before he was allowed. Yeah, how I miss the old crowd. Well, now it's funny. When high school gets all through, friendships always come to an end. Everybody tells you they'll keep in touch, yeah, but you don't see them again. It's not that I'm unhappy. I know I still have you, but I still think about all the good times we knew. We were so carefree and our thoughts were out loud. Yeah, how I miss the old crowd. I'm sure that most people have something like that in them concerning their past, times that were really good, but times change. That doesn't mean they get worse. Sometimes they get better. But we can still think back and remember some of the things that just by nature of human life no longer exist. Billy Joel recognized this transition when he wrote, "This is the time to remember, because it will not last forever. These are the days to hold on to, because we won't, although we'll want to. This is the time, but time is going to change." And it always does. Sometimes for the worse, sometimes for the better, but it always changes. As another song we sing indicates, time is filled with swift transition. Now let's go back to where we began with Samuel. And just a few chapters after that, we have Saul introduced. What did Saul think about at the end of his life? Do you ever wonder if he missed the good old days when Samuel was his prophet, David was a musician, and all was right with the world? Oh yeah, they had to go out and fight battles. There were always those things present in any kingdom. But maybe he remembered how it all started out. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Verses 25 through 27. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 25 through 27. Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it in a book and laid it before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home. This is upon appointing Saul as king. Saul went home to Gibeah, and valiant men went with him, whose hearts God had touched. But some rebels said, "How can this man save us?" So they despised him and brought him no presents. But he held his peace. Now Saul soon had a chance to prove himself. And leading Israel, he went out and won a great victory. Now notice this in chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. Then the people said to Samuel, "Who is he who said, 'Shall Saul reign over us?' Bring the men that we may put them to death." But Saul said, "Not a man shall be put to death this day, for today the Lord has accomplished salvation in Israel." Ah, those were such good times. Saul was very humble when he was appointed king. He could have reacted toward these men and said, "Well, you didn't think I could do anything. What do you think now?" He could have put him in prison as political enemies. He could have put them to death. And in fact, some people even suggested that. But no, Saul did what was right. He did what the Lord wanted. He gave the Lord credit for the victory. He could have set up an Ebenezer as a milestone in his career for having done the right thing at the outset of his reign. Yet, Saul ended up estranged from the Lord, didn't he? He made a mistake. Then he made another mistake. And pretty soon he was persecuting David, who was not only his son-in-law, but also a valiant warrior and a close friend of his son Jonathan, and he kept trying to put him to death. David even said at one point, "There is but a step between me and death because of Saul." David had two opportunities to kill Saul, but he refused to do it. And at that moment, Saul even recognized that David was more righteous than he was. But he turned around and went right back to doing what he had done in persecuting him and trying to put him to death. Eventually, God would not talk to Saul through prophets, through dreams, through any means. And so he was reduced to go to a medium at Endor and ask her what was going to happen. The news was not good. The news was that he was going to be dead in 24 hours. Did Saul ever stop to think about what he could have been? About how he started out? About why he changed when everything was going so well? Well, of course, we don't know that. We don't know what thoughts went through his mind, but he could have thought of all of those things. He had the advice of a great prophet of God. He had a great warrior in David. Most people would say, well, with this going on, I can't fail. But Saul failed. And he ended up separated from God. That's not the kind of change that you want in your life. Did Judas recall fonder days before he took his life? Did he think about all of the times where he and the other 11 were with Jesus and traveling with him and absorbing all the teaching that he did, watching all the miracles that he performed, and then being commissioned and sent out himself to do the same thing? Did he remember all of that before he took his life? How sad that someone would end up that way, that had such great privilege and honor, but turned away from it all. No, he was not prone to do that. He made a choice. And he chose the wrong thing by which to end his life. Change will occur, but it does not have to be for the worse. All of Jesus' disciples, after Jesus was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven to the throne on the right hand of God, and they went out and were preaching the gospel, they probably, all of them, thought back to that time they had together. But those days were no more. We can remember them fondly, but time changes. We can't hold on to some of those things that we have enjoyed. But they went out and did the work that God wanted them to do, and it created more good times with the preaching of the gospel and the expanding of the kingdom of God. You can handle change. Judas didn't very well, and Saul didn't, but Samuel did. Samuel handled the change of Israel demanding a king. He was a prophet. He was a judge. But the people said, we don't want a judge anymore. We want a king to be like the nations round about us. He lived through that change. It wasn't one he approved of, but God told him to go ahead and give them a king. Tell them what it's going to be like when they have a king. But it didn't matter. They insisted on having a king. But Samuel lived through that. He lived through Saul turning to evil, and he warned him and did what he could. But he was able to handle change because he knew that up to every point in his life, God had been with him and still was. Samuel was still thinking that way when he died and departed from this earth. Hither by thy help I've come. God was with him every step of the way. And so we too can endure change. Stay away from the evil decisions that might call us in the wrong direction. Stay with the good things, but realize that change is going to happen. Samuel always acknowledged God's help and raised up his Ebenezer. We might desert God, but he will not desert us. No matter what the change is, if we continue with him, he will always be there for us. Now, if we turn away from him like Saul did and like Judas did, then we're lost. But otherwise, he is there to help us endure every change that we come across. And we need to be strong and be able to endure what life presents, realizing that by God's help, we have come to be where we are. This evening, if you have never obeyed the gospel, that's not the place you want to be. You want to repent of your sins and confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that one that died for you on the cross. And you want to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, so that his blood that he shed on the cross can wash all of your sins away. If you're willing to do that this evening, we invite you to come. If you have been involved in change and you're not going in the same direction, now is the time to get it right and get back on track. Don't wait. The longer you wait, the more you're going to end up like Saul, getting farther and farther away. Now is the time to get back to where you once were. Don't do like the writer of the song was, feeling miserable so late in his life and wishing he could be back where he was earlier. Stay where you were, and God will help you to endure every change. If we can help you in any respect, let us know while we stand and while we sing.